Now, with the latest from the world of technology, this is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenwick.
I quite like the number of apps that are already available.
Tech Guide.
The iPad 2 still beats just about everything on the market. The new iPad has just kicked away even further.
Tech Guide.
I quite enjoyed using it. Great design. The operating system worked hand in hand with the hardware as well.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is the Tech Guide Podcast.
This is obviously a hot-selling device.
Tech Guide.
You know, we want that to be light. We want that to be portable. And this one's very fast with i7 and i5 processors.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenwick.
Tech Guide episode 38. Welcome to our weekly cover of the latest tech news and reviews. Thanks for listening and thanks for downloading. My name is Stephen Fenwick and I'm the editor of techguide.com.au. On this week's show, we're going to be talking about the Samsung Galaxy S4, which was launched in New York last week in a over-the-top Broadway-style presentation, which we'll chat about. We're also going to look at Google Maps going indoors. We're also going to check out a new survey that looks at how many gadgets we'd like to carry around. Some interesting results for that one. In the Tech Guide reviews, we're going to check out the new LG Optimus G smartphone. And we'll also talk to the product manager, actually, Josh Corrin, later on in the show. Our reviews will also include a hands-on look at the new Samsung Note 8 tablet. And a low-tech device called the iCrib. It's a low-tech solution for your high-tech gadgets. An interesting little product, that one. And we'll wrap things up with your questions on the Tech Guide Help Desk as usual. And it's all proudly brought to you by our sponsors, Netgear, Australia's number one brand of home Wi-Fi products. A lot to get through. You're listening to Tech Guide. Well, it was a very highly anticipated event late last week. This was a Friday morning in Australia. That was the Samsung Unpacked event, which was the worst kept secret, the fact that it was actually the launch of the Galaxy S4, the follow-up to the very popular Galaxy S3, which is probably the best Android device, Android smartphone that's in the market. And now Samsung have had to now top that that previous act and now produce an even better device, and they did that. They unveiled the Galaxy S4. Now, taking a quick look through the presentation, it went for about an hour, and it was at Radio City Music Hall in New York, and being on New York, being on Broadway, as a matter of fact, it's no wonder that Samsung decided to add a little showmanship, create a whole spectacle around that whole launch. And they did that and to showcase the many features of the new product. So let's go through them, though. It was pretty – I think a lot of people were disappointed the fact that the device actually looks almost identical to the Samsung Galaxy S3. I think it's only slightly thinner and slightly less wider than the previous device. Under the hood, you're going to have, there's 2 gigabytes of RAM, an 8-core processor, not a quad core, an 8-core processor, which funny enough, they didn't really mention that during the whole presentation. They only concentrated on all the latest features, but 8-core processor. It's 13 megapixel camera, up from 8 from the previous model. It's just 7.9 millimeters thick, weighs 130 grams. But as I said, looks a lot like the Galaxy S3. The display, full HD, 5-inch display, so it manages to fit in a bigger screen in a form factor that's actually smaller than the previous model, which is an achievement. I found it quite interesting the fact that the screen itself was only officially listed in the specs as 4.99 inches. 0.01 of an inch. You think they could have found room for that 0.01 of an inch? I don't know. That made me laugh. But anyway, I'm going to call it a 5-inch screen anyway. But what really caught our attention were some of these new features that were actually leaked the day before. There was some videos circulating on these rumored extra features, which turned out to be spot on. Things like smart scrolling, smart pausing, air view, air gesture, those sort of things. But they were also a couple of other new features called Group Play Dual Shot, which I'll go through very briefly each one. Smart Scroll is the what was the eye scrolling that was rumored. So your eye reaches the bottom of the screen and it will scroll up automatically. Smart Pause is where you're watching a video and the Galaxy S4 can actually detect when your eye leaves the screen. There was eye tracking on the Galaxy S3. You'll remember a feature called Smart Stay. What Smart Stay did was it could detect when your eye was looking at the screen and it would prevent the screen from dimming or going to sleep. So they've taken that technology to the next level. So Smart Pause, if you look away from the screen, the video will pause. Look back again, the video will resume. Pretty cool feature. I'm looking forward to testing that. Another new feature is called AirView. We saw this with the Galaxy Note 2, and that involves hovering the S Pen above an email, above a document, above a gallery, and you can see a preview then of what is inside. Now, you'll be able to do that with a Galaxy S4 simply by hovering your finger over those particular files. I think that's going to be a very interesting feature as well. They've also introduced gesture control to the Galaxy S4 Air Gesture. So what that involves is that using the front-facing camera, obviously, hand and arm movements will allow you to navigate different documents, control your music, things like that, even answer phone calls, which is pretty cool. Group Play. This is an audio feature which allows up to 5 devices to stream the same music on all of them. So I don't know if everyone's going to be having their Galaxy S4 at the party and they're going to be dancing wildly with their Galaxy S4s as they did during the presentation. But it's an interesting concept nonetheless. Dual Shot, another camera feature here through the 13 megapixel camera, lets you take photos and videos at the same time from the front and back camera. So you can combine your view, the person you're talking to, and I think that's going to be an interesting feature also. Sound in Shot allows you to record a little audio clip to go with your photo. S Translator is another translation tool, and there are another feature called Samsung Knox, as in Fort Knox, as in security, and what this is a way to tap into the growing trend of BYOD, short for bring your own device. Now, what they're going to allow you to do with the Galaxy S4 is to partition one part of the device for your personal items, content, apps, and also hive off another part for your work. So it's easy to get your work-life balance in order there and not be able to to confuse them. So easier way for, say, an IT manager at your office to control that IT portion or the portion that you use for the company on the device. Galaxy S4 is going to be available in late April. Now, Telstra and Optus have already put their hand up, and I think Virgin Mobile have as well, that they're going to be ranging the product. No word yet, though, on how much it's going to cost, what the plans are going to be like, and the exact release date. All they said was late April. I'm thinking probably the very last day of April, which will be it'll throw that device amongst a range of other products that are already in the market, LG, Optimus G, which we're going to talk about in a moment, Xperia Z, which is out this week through Optus. You've got the HTC One, which is just about to be released. The BlackBerry Z10, another smartphone. So it's going to be a very, very crowded smartphone market. I've written a full story on the launch, and you can read that at techguide.com.au.
This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenech.
Well, Google Maps has actually expanded its capacity and gone where it has never gone before, and that is inside. Now, Google Maps, as we know, is a really easy way to find your way around. If you got a trip or you're somewhere in a foreign country, you can easily find your way around. But well, now what Google has done is actually expanded the offering to take in certain places. So you can have actually indoor maps, and it applies to places like shopping centres and airports, major train stations, and even sporting stadiums. So here in Australia, there are more than 200 locations in New South Wales and Victoria that have actually been mapped. So you can, once you go off the street, you can then, if your mate tells you, look, I'll meet you outside Coles on the third floor of this particular shopping centre, you can actually Google that location. And it will also use 3G/4G triangulation to even pinpoint your position so you know exactly where you're going. Very handy at an airport. So if you need to go to Gate 7 at Melbourne Airport, at the Qantas Terminal, you know exactly where you need to go. Just takes that uncertainty out of that out of your little trip there. So also useful too if you're going to a sporting stadium, you might not know what gate you need to enter in. You're meeting your mates at a certain bar at a certain level, and Google Maps can come to the rescue there as well. I've written a full report about this on Tech Guide. I've also linked to the list of Google indoor maps that are available worldwide, not just here in Australia. So the Australian list is also there. But I think a smart inclusion with Google. Google Maps was actually a product of the Sydney Google Labs. I don't think a lot of people knew that. Google Maps was actually born here in Australia and has now become an essential tool for those worldwide. I think especially when Apple decided to cut Google Maps and replaced it with their own, we saw what a disaster that was. Once Google Maps was reintroduced as an app, I think people embraced that and accepted that back onto their device very, very freely. So Google Maps, very important part of our day-to-day usage, and now you can take that experience indoors. You're listening to Tech Guide. Well, how many devices do you carry around? Are you a tech head that likes to carry everything? Your smartphone, your tablet, your laptop, your e-reader. Are you one of these people? Well, Sophos, the internet security company, decided to ask the question of more than 2,200 people, as well as the readers of their Naked Security website. And from not just here from Australia, from other countries, including Germany, US, Canada, and the UK. Well, funny enough, Australia actually ranked fifth in the average number of devices that people carry around. On average, Australians carry 2.6 devices. At the top of the list, Germany, 3.1, followed by the US on 3, Canada and the UK on 2.7. Interesting results, because I was under the impression, and this was the impression in the tech world here in Australia especially, that Australians are quite a tech-savvy nation and a nation of early adopters. We're not afraid to adopt technology. It just seems so, according to this Sophos survey, that we just don't like carrying them all around with us at the same time. I thought that was an interesting call. Australia's device of choice, though, the most popular device we carry around, is no surprise, it's the smartphone. Yet in Germany, where they carry 3.1 devices, on average, the laptop is something you'd normally find a German carrying around. And interestingly enough, though, of all the people they surveyed, and there were more than 2,200, the largest number of devices carried by a single respondent was actually 12. 12 devices. They must have had a big backpack or a large shoulder bag to carry those kinds of products around. The most popular devices across the survey were smartphones, that's 85%, followed by the laptop, 68%, tablets, 48%, MP3 players, 40%, and the e-reader carried around by 29% of those surveyed. Windows was the most popular laptop operating system, Mac OS on 22% of their devices. On the portable device side, Android just beat the iPhone, 40.9% carrying Android devices, 40.5% carrying iPhone, and that was followed by BlackBerry on 8.9%, Windows 3.4. So very interesting survey there. The full results are on Tech Guide. You can also click through to the Naked Security website by that is run by Sophos. Some interesting reading there just around the whole security world. It is an entire industry. It is a huge part of our life now, online security, and Sophos is a company that knows what they're doing. You can read that full story at techguide.com.au.
You're listening to Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Well, Tech Guide is brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one brand of home Wi-Fi gear. Now, if you want to experience the fastest Wi-Fi ever in your home, well, you can. You can supercharge your wireless home network with the Netgear D6300 Wi-Fi modem router, which delivers next generation gigabit Wi-Fi, which is up to three times faster than existing Wi-Fi products. It's NBN ready and great for streaming HD video. Netgear's family of 802.11ac products, which actually include the Samsung Galaxy S4, they provide increased Wi-Fi coverage, which means you can now use your mobile gadgets in every corner of your home. It comes with the Netgear Genie app that makes installation easy and lets you view and play all of your digital photos, movies, and music on your smartphone, tablet, PC, or smart TV. And you can find out more at netgear.com.au/fastest Wi-Fi.
Tech Guide now. A Tech Guide review with Stephen Fenwick.
Well, we got along last week to the LG Optimus G launch. This is the new smartphone from LG that I've been using for the past week. My review has just appeared on techguide.com.au. And later on, we're going to have a chat to Josh Curran, who's the product manager for the Optimus G. But my thoughts on the device, it is a 4G device available exclusively on the Telstra network. And it represents a real departure for LG, a return, I should say, to the postpaid market, the top shelf smartphone market. They spent much of 2012 really producing prepaid, well-priced devices, let's call them. But and by their own admission, they did that, but have now decided to concentrate on a top-shelf phone. And the Optimus G has delivered this. The smartphone has a 4.7-inch screen. It's got a true HD display, quad-core 1.5 gigahertz processor, and a 13-megapixel camera. But what I like about the product, apart from the design, it's pretty simple design, glass, Gorilla Glass front and back, slightly curved rear panel, sits really nicely in your hand. Screen is ultra-sharp, beautiful HD quality screen, which is really great for viewing your apps and your photos, and also for browsing the web. But the extra features that they've thrown in. Now, I've mentioned what Samsung have done with the Galaxy S4. A lot of really, really great features. A lot of people may think they're gimmicky features that might look good on paper, but not something that people are going to use every day. What I like about the Optimus G is the features they've included are actually relevant features. I've called them in my review. Relevant in the fact that you can actually use these every day. They're useful and enhance the product's ability to integrate into your daily life. So it is a great way to enhance the experience. The first one of those is QSlide, which is a way you can run a selection of apps simultaneously, and I'm talking like messaging, calendars, like how often do you receive a message, you want to meet up on the 28th, and rather than you having to close down the message, call up your calendar, you can actually now go to your QSlide menu, choose the calendar. It sits then in front of your message, so you can access your calendar and then look at your message. You can even play a video at the same time. QSlide comes from the fact that you can actually slide the transparency, so you can make the calendar quite transparent so you can still see what you're writing underneath. So you can have up to, I think, three apps running at the same time. That's a handy little feature. Another new feature is a quick memo. Now, how often have you been on the phone and you need to write a note or take down a number, or you're listening to your voicemail and you need to write something? Well, quick memo actually turns your display, your home screen, into a notepad. So you click on quick memo and you can actually write with your finger a phone number or a note. You can even save that note and even share that note if you have to. But a very handy feature, rather than you having to go out of the phone into a note app, try to write it. This just really couple of keystrokes and you've got a note on your screen that you can save or share. The camera, though, 13-megapixel camera on the Optimus G, has some cool and very useful features. The first is time catch shot. Now, what this does, once you activate the camera on the Optimus G, it then begins taking full 13-megapixel pictures. It keeps a 2-second buffer of images. So until you're ready to press the shutter, it is taking these images, saving them in the memory, keeping a 2-second buffer. So once you hit the shutter, it keeps the 2 seconds that you hit exactly before the shutter, just in case you may have missed the child, your child blowing out the candles or smiling. You might have missed your pet sitting in the right position. So any instance there where you may have missed the moment, the good news is with time catch shot is you can go back 2 seconds, examine the images that were captured before you actually hit the button, and you can then see if there's a better shot to be saved. Another thing you can do with the camera is you can now zoom in and out while you're shooting a video, something that no other smartphone allows you to do. But another good thing too, a cool feature too, is the fact you can activate the shutter with your voice. So you can program it. You can say cheese, whiskey, smile, kimchi, which I think is a Korean word, which I don't know the meaning of, or LG. So there's been often times, I'm sure, people trying to take selfies and trying to reach for the shutter button. They may have an odd angle for a photo they want to take, rather than them having to actually guess where the button is, the capture button is on the screen. They can actually program it. They say, cheese, it takes a photo. I've tested this out. It works actually too well because as I was explaining to someone, all you need to do is say, cheese, it actually took a photo when I said that. So it does work very well. Performance-wise, there's an S4 Pro 1.5 gigahertz quad-core processor on board the LG Optimus G. So it's quite a powerful, puts a lot of computing power in your hands. 2 gig of RAM. It is really snappy performance. It's got 4.1.2 Jelly Bean Android under the hood. And it runs very well. 32 gig of internal memory. I was a bit disappointed there wasn't a micro SD card slot to expand that even further. That's sort of how they lost half a mark there for me with that, especially the fact that you can create so much content with the device, videos, pictures, and all kinds of things. It'd be great to have that extra storage on hand. Battery wise, lasted a full day, no better or worse than other in its range. But at the launch itself, we actually had a chance to speak to Josh Corran, who is the leading authority at LG on mobiles. In fact, he's the mobile account manager, product manager, I should say. And we had a chat to him after the launch last week, and here's what he had to say.
Well, Josh, thanks for joining me. We're here at the Optimus G launch for LG. Now, this is quite a release for LG. It was 2012 was sort of more a prepaid, you focus on the prepaid market, but this LG, the new Optimus G, you're calling a super phone. Tell us why.
Absolutely, Stephen. Now, this phone does lots of unique features and things that no other product on the market can do. Features like QSlide, which allow you to run applications in multiple windows, similar to your experience on a PC. We're all used to that. We can open up different windows, resize them. The other cool feature of that is you can make them transparent. So you can actually create different layers, have up to 3 apps on the screen at the same time, move them around, resize them. A usage case for that would be to read your SMS messages while watching a video. If you get asked what you're doing on the weekend, you could pop open your calendar at the same time, have it all on the screen, and take multitasking to the next level.
In terms of specs and features, it's obviously up there with all the other major Android devices, but with those features you just mentioned, how important is it for LG to establish themselves as a force in smartphones in 2013?
Oh, absolutely. It's really important for us. We're strong across a number of categories in the market, and a mobile phone is pretty much the centre of your digital life these days. So for us to integrate with other categories, we've got a great experience there, and it's a good opportunity for us. The power on the Optimus G is really strong. It's a Qualcomm Snapdragon S4 Pro 1.5 gigahertz. Lots of words there, Stephen, but actually what it means for the end user, really fast performance and a slick user interface. What we've done, though, is on top of all that power, it's the little nice touches and the user experiences that really stand out. And I think that's what really sets this product apart from the others. It's not just about the power. It's about taking that power and creating a great user experience with it.
Sure. I was interested to hear that during your demonstration, you did a bit of a live demo in some shopping centre where you asked people before the demonstration, would you buy LG? And the result was one way. But afterwards, the reaction was actually quite different. Tell us about that.
Yeah, this is actually really good news for us. So everyone who's actually touched the product, felt it, they've all given us really strong feedback. Just by playing with the device, people are going, wow, I didn't know that these things were possible. And, they're just certainly just, it's just up on their radar now.
Mm-hmm. So apparently before this demonstration, I think it was 70% said they probably wouldn't buy an LG phone. But yet afterwards, what was that figure? It was 85% said they would. So that was quite a demo.
It's a big, it's a good shift. And it just shows the power of the product and what it can do.
Okay, now a lot of competition with HTC, Sony, Samsung. What is the key feature, or why would people? Do you want people to look at the LG phone ahead of all that other competition?
I think it's a total package from design, Gorilla Glass 2 front and back. It's got a nice crystal reflection finish, a 13 megapixel camera, really fast processor, large 4.7 inch screen, HD resolution, and all the little user experience features that we've shown you today, so the QSlide, the quick memo, overlay functions, dual screen, dual play. You can mirror your phone to your big screen TV. That's really cool. And the first 5,000 customers also get that capability for free with the Miracast dongle thrown in.
Right. And moving forward, though, the whole sort of the LG picture, we're talking smart TVs, the smart home at CES, the smartphones seem to play a central role in that whole, the connected home. How important is the Optimus G in that bigger picture now for LG?
Oh, it's absolutely critical. If we have a phone, it's portable, it can connect to every device. They're very powerful these days. I mean, a phone, the Optimus G, for example, is probably more powerful than most computers you guys have in your home at the moment and getting laptops. So to take that power in your hand, move around, it's really portable. But the interaction that's possible, so from streaming content from your phone, controlling different appliances throughout the home just from your phone, one touch, it's a very exciting future and we're excited to be part of it.
Now, it's available already on the Telstra network, but it has already been released in other parts of the world. Why did it take it so long to come to Australia? Is Australia getting a version that's superior to the other parts of the world, seeing we've got to getting it a bit later, or why the difference there?
Yeah, absolutely. The team at LG in Australia have done a lot of work to bring this to market. We've included the Jelly Bean OS 4.1.2, and basically that means we're running a more up-to-date version than what's in other countries. We've also updated a lot of the user experience stuff. So QSlide now, we can run up to 3 applications in Windows, where previously that wasn't possible. So that's an Australian launch feature. There's a lot of other stuff in there. Obviously, optimizing it for the Australian networks it takes some time, and we've developed this product specifically for the demands of Australian consumers.
Absolutely, and 4G is obviously part of that picture as well.
Absolutely.
And a large screen. I noticed from your presentation, it kind of ticks all the boxes in what people are demanding. Large screen, 4G, that connectivity. This does sort of fill all those all those demands, doesn't it?
Absolutely. One of the cool things I like about the phone is the battery. It's got what we call an 800 cycle battery. So every time you recharge a battery, it loses its ability to hold that charge. It's called battery decay. The battery in the Optimus G maintains like new power performance for longer when compared to other batteries. So at the end of your 2-year contract, your battery performing closer to what it was on day one than competing brands. So we measure that at 800 cycles, and when compared to other batteries, they're about 400 to 500. So it's almost double.
No worries. Well, it sounds like LG's got a super phone on their hands, and we're looking forward to seeing how it goes in the market. Thanks for your time, Josh.
Great. Thank you very much.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Well, late last week, I was down in Melbourne for the opening of Samsung's new experience store. This was at the High Point Shopping Centre in the western suburbs of Melbourne. And it was the unveiling of, there was a ribbon cutting ceremony and everything. It was the opening of a brand new store, the second in Australia. The first is here in Sydney, in the Myer, opposite the Apple store, funny enough. And it is, as its name suggests, an experience store where you can get in and touch and feel the products, see how they interact with one another. They, you know, don't forget they've got smartphones and tablets and digital cameras and televisions and all computers and laptops and all sorts of things that actually can communicate with each other. So it tells a bit of a story once you walk in the store. You can also buy accessories and things like that. And I think what Samsung also have introduced, kind of taking a little leaf out of Apple's book, if you like, is the fact that they've got kind of like a genius bar. So if you've got problems with your devices, they've also got a training area, which I thought was interesting because there's a lot of people coming to Samsung now that are giving them a try. A lot of people have not necessarily left Apple, but are just maybe buying a tablet for the first time and are attracted to a Samsung product. And what the store offers is training. Because not everyone is familiar with all the features. There were features of a device, the Galaxy Note 8, which I'll speak about in a moment, features on it that I didn't even know about. And once it was demonstrated, I'm thinking, wow, that's a really powerful way to use the device and great for customers who want to get acquainted with the new product, whether they're coming to Samsung for the first time or whether this is a brand new product that they've just purchased. So the whole experience there, once you buy your product, you can actually sit down and be shown the key features by an expert in the store. But as I mentioned, one of the things that I did manage to get my hands on while I was in the store was the Galaxy Note 8. This was a product revealed at the Mobile World Congress in Barcelona last month, and it is a cousin, if you like, to the Galaxy Note 2, which is a smartphone, and the Galaxy Note 10.1, which is a larger tablet. This is kind of the in-between product that is Wi-Fi only, be available from mid to late April for $459. Now, the Galaxy Note 8 is a nice size, about the iPad mini size, and it is quite a powerful little product, great for writing on, about the size of an A4 page, probably smaller than the size of an A4 page actually, with an 8-inch screen, of course. It's Wi-Fi only for now, but down the track later this year, there will be a 3G/4G version available, which will not only be able to connect to the internet from anywhere, but you can also make phone calls. I don't know how smart you're going to look holding this giant device up to your ear, but I'm sure Bluetooth will be on board, so you'll be able to make your calls doing that. I had a chance to play with the device. It's quite light and thin, and really fast, and really great, very receptive with the S Pen. It's got the same S Pen that's in the Galaxy Note 10.1 and the Galaxy Note 2 smartphone. Really good for students, for anyone who likes to still write on the screen. And that's me too. I like to take notes when I'm at press conferences and interviewing different people. And I now use the a Samsung product, the Galaxy Note 2, or if I don't have that, I just use a regular notepad. So the Galaxy Note 8, there's pictures of me holding the device on techguide.com.au, available mid to late April, priced at $459. Well, there is a low-tech product that I mentioned at the top of the show that I wrote about. It's called the iCrib from a company called Life. Now, this is, as I described, a low-tech solution for some high-tech devices. It's basically a mini beanbag. Now, I'm talking, it's smaller than a football. So it comes pre-filled with beans, and it's designed to sit on any surface, whether it's your lap, whether it's a table, and provide then a stable surface for things like your iPad, tablet, or e-reader. So you can sit comfortably if you're, say, reclining on a lounge. The iCrib can sit in your lap, and you can position the iPad at a favorable angle for you to either type on the screen or just watch a movie and go from there. But also includes a small pocket so that if you maybe have your smartphone or a pair of headphones handy, they can be tucked away within arm's reach. The iCrib, it's only $29.95. I think it's a good Mother's Day gift. It'd be a nice gift for, you know, you have a loved one who has an iPad possibly. Sure, they might prefer the iPad as the gift, but if they already have one, then this is the product for someone who's got everything. The iCrib is $29.95. It's available now. Available in a range of colors, too. There's, I think, about 12 different colors and patterns. There's chocolate and black and heart shapes and zebra patterns and polka dots and all different kinds of textures. There's even a cord material. There's blue denim. So there's plenty of choices to make if you're interested in buying the iCrib. The full story, and there's a link also to the site where you can actually purchase it online, is at techguide.com.au.
Now, answering all your tech questions, the Tech Guide Help Desk.
Now, I had a very interesting question sent to me at info@techguide.com a few days ago, and it was from a reader asking how they can share large files online. Now, we're talking 20, 30, 40 meg files, sometimes even larger, which you can't exactly attach as an email. You'll no doubt, if you try, your own system will say, sorry, too big, or the system that it's going to will say, I'm sorry, too big. There's a lot of places that have restrictions on email attachment sizes just for their own server's sake. Some of these can be as low as 8 meg, can be as high as 16, but it depends. But if you've got a very large file that you need to share, there are a number of online services you can take advantage of. The most popular, I'd say, is a service called Dropbox, which is basically just a big online cloud folder. So you can create, I think you get up to 50 gig free storage. So you can create an account, store the documents on the site to not only allow you to access them from any device with a Dropbox app or from the web on a computer, but you can also invite other people to share a folder online. So say I want to invite someone, I need to send someone a large presentation, for example, I may invite them, then they'll have access to that file that we've created. We can both access it together. Other services are YouSendIt, which lives up to its name. Similar to Dropbox is another tool where if you need to share those very large files, you can. And again, you invite people to join that folder and access that folder so you can share those very large files. A couple others there, Dropbox, though, and YouSendIt are the two big ones that we've used ourselves here at Tech Guide, and a very handy addition if you do need to deal in large files. If you may be collaborating with someone, working, maybe someone's in an interstate or another country, you need to share these large files. Also a great way to share folders full of photographs, for example. You might have an album full of photos you took on your digital SLR that may be like a 30 meg file. Setting up a common Dropbox folder or a YouSendIt file is a great way for them to be accessed from anywhere online. So that's sharing large files, not always a great idea to email them. Boy, how time flies. That's our show for yet another week. You can read more about anything we spoke about in this episode at our website, techguide.com.au, the place to get updated and educated about the latest tech news and reviews. And we love hearing from you, our listeners. You can get in touch by emailing us at info@techguide.com.au. You can also send us your help desk questions. We love to receive those. Or you can go to the Tech Guide Forum, which is a very popular place for our readers to ask questions. Also answer questions too. It's a great little forum we've got going there on the site. Thanks too to our sponsors, Netgear, the brand you can trust for all your Wi-Fi needs. Well, that's it for Tech Guide episode 38. Thanks for listening. We look forward to your company next week. So in the meantime, as we always say, stay safe and stay connected.